You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we try to keep that special offer going for new subscribers only. And it's to my newsletter. It's a Leibovit VR newsletter, but the URL is VRTrader.com. And if you enter the promo code 2022 half off in the little promo slot on the order form, you get 50% off for any newsletter, but only for new subscribers. And also, I make the disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
The Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and S&P 500 were down today after spiking sharply upwards after the election. Are we already into correction territory?
Well, I went short yesterday for two reasons. And in fact, I was doing a presentation on a big webinar for the software program MetaStock that tracks my VR volume indicator and broadcast all over the world. And of course, other analysts are there too. But yesterday I reported that, again, this is a technical comment. We generated what I call a negative volume reversal, which is my VR indicator. And we're also have intersected within a day the lunar cycle. And that told me that we may get a change of direction here. So we went short and we're making a little money today. And this is, of course, a trading comment. And could be something bigger. You're suggesting that it could be. You know, we had a huge move up. You know, a lot of, you know, euphoria. The greed index is in the greed territory, the fear greed index that's published by CNN. So, you know, we're due for a bit of a shakeout. It's held the market up with some earnings reports and so forth. But, you know, balancing that, you know, we've got the seasonality this time of year, you know, into the new year. And, of course, the spectacular win on the part of Trump, which is a tremendous change from an inept and incapacitated radical government that we had here in the U.S. And so hopefully we'll get some qualified, and we are getting some qualified people to run the country. On the business side, of course, I'm sure you know the story, that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, in there or trying to get in there to cut expenses and try to bring some fiscal order to our government. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we've got the Marxists out for a while here, and hopefully, you know, that you talk about a market correction. You know, you can get market corrections anytime. The main issue I have is, or concern I have, is that Donald Trump remains safe because they've been out to kill him couple times, and if not, try to discredit him, humiliate him, attack him with false charges or create charges that not normally charge, so we don't have to get into all the politics of it. But the bad guys are out for now, and hopefully with the Congress, both the Senate and the House in our favor, and the President, I think this is a major event. I mean, this is a life-changing situation. This is not just, you know, we got a new president here in the U.S. I mean, literally the fate of this country and maybe the fate of your country ultimately in the Western world were at stake here. And I'm just euphoric about it. It doesn't mean everything is going to be implemented as proposed, that all the bad people are going to be deposed and put where they should be. But, you know, it's a major economic positivism, you know, the anti-growth policies that we had here, the invoked wokeism that we've had to tolerate. It just beyond the pale what was going on. Unfortunately, people woke up, and you know, I and others had predicted that we had a good chance he could get in. The market was sort of telling us that, with the market rallying, and particularly a couple of key stocks that are related to the economy were moving up, which I previously mentioned. So, long-winded response. I mean, we get corrections at any time. I would assume if we get a shakeout, unless there's some dramatic news event or Donald Trump is hurt in some way or something like that, it would be temporary. And, of course, you know, a lot is going forward here. A lot of these nominees that he's going to have, Ronald's will be done into January, but, you know, there's some pushback on getting some of these key people in and getting them approved by the Senate here in the U.S. You know, I suppose that could delay things a bit. So we just have to track the markets. I mean, the markets tend to tell you the future. It's the closest thing we have to a crystal ball in life. And the fact that the key markets were rallying into prior to the election, if they start coming down significantly, there's something else we don't know about going on. And so far, that's not happening. So dip maybe. And then we got what we know, what was referred to as a turkey shoot here in the U.S. just the day before, the day after Thanksgiving, the markets tend to be up. That was documented by the noted analyst Yale Hirsch, an old friend of mine, unfortunately, who passed away a few years ago, who created the Stock Traders Almanac. And, of course, this is the Santa Claus rally and all that stuff, the seasonality this time of year. But, you know, with a new administration in, with pro-economic policies, with a market that surged to new highs, yes, we're going to get volatility, but I think we should be in good shape. So like anything else, you got to trade them. So, you know, even with my positive outlook, I went short yesterday because I had a negative signal technically, and it could be a trade for just a few days or a day or two or a week. We'll see what the numbers say here, and I'm just sort of following, you know, what the indicators are telling me. So that's what I like so much about the stock market, is that it insulates you from the real world in a way. You know, the tape sort of tells you what's coming, what's happening, where money is moving, where expectations are, and, you know, you just flow with it. So everybody's excited, but some sellers came in. I don't know if they're smart money or they're just good traders or they know something, and that flashed as a technical signal for me on a trading basis. Of course, there are positives out there as well. One of the stocks that we had on our list, the Walt Disney Company, had a huge move today, which we had in our list as something, you know, readers should consider. And it was up, I think, about 12, 14 points this morning. Big, one of the biggest moves it's had. And this was all based on a technical projection. Now we can talk about the story, about getting new CFO into the company or CEO for the company and maybe get rid of some of the wokeism, which has hurt Disney stock here in recent months or years. But the tape was telling you there are more buyers than sellers, and we suggested this was something you might want to take a look at. So that was a positive. So we're long that. At the same time, we went short the S&P because it was different signals. So you use the signals accordingly. The gold market has been coming down. We actually mentioned it last week on this broadcast that we were hedging gold with an inverse ETF position in gold and silver, and that's two reasons. One, the tape and the technical signals we get turn negative, and then a little common sense that I mentioned was the fact that with Donald Trump in, you know, maybe the world will be a little safer, and if we recall, gold really took off following the October Hamas invasion of Israel, and things are calming down politically, geopolitically. There's less reason for gold to stay up. And even though there are bigger picture reasons why you can like gold, I've been arguing that for the last 30 or 40 years, but doesn't mean gold goes up all the time. So many of the gold bulls obviously have been suffering for many, many years until we finally got a breakout this past year and it really cleared that 2000 level. But anyway, gold and silver have corrected here a little bit. You know, look, gold up about 2,800 U.S., dropped into the mid-2,500 area, 2,500-2,600 range, and so we've got part of the correction. There may be more. We're just monitoring it day to day, but that's a technical event, and it was sort of putting together two pieces, common sense with the election and what the tape was telling us with the volume. So you just got to look at each market separately. You know, oil had the same problem, Jim. You know, you get Donald Trump opening the valves on the production of oil, which is going to happen. There's going to be more supply, and in theory, that should pressure oil prices. Now, maybe an economic boom could offset that because we still need oil for a lot of things. But that's part of the reason I think oil has been under pressure, and natural gas as well. So the tape was telling you the oil was getting tired and natural gas has been acting really bad for the last couple of years. So we'll see if that changes. And we could get some signals telling us that changes. So hopefully, we can report a more positive outlook for oil and natural gas if we get those signals. But it seems like the real world of what's happening is affecting those markets.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with the cryptocurrencies?
Wow, what a story, huh, Jim? And we talked about this for a number of months, in fact, and we were talking about how Bitcoin in particular, topped out in that 73,000 level and, corrected all the way down into the mid-40s and then it started to come up again, and it's going on. This is in the past, 12 months, a lot of volatility. But we still had a bullish view on it, and one of the key numbers from a trading perspective was that, again, 73,000 level, which I mentioned if we broke out above, could send it soaring perhaps into the high 80s or low 90s, which is exactly what happened. So we took profits here. Basically said, hey, we're looking for, hoping for a breakout above that 73. Maybe gets to the high 80s. I think it touched 90. I'm not sure. I have to check the chart, but I'm pretty sure it was 89,000. And, we don't play the Bitcoin ourselves. There's an ETF out there, the Bitcoin Trust, and, of course, the one that BlackRock created. That's the ticker symbol IBIT, Larry Fink's company. And, of course, there's a GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust. So, doesn't mean Bitcoin is dead. It just was a trade, and now it's pulling back a little bit. So we'll probably go back into it again, and hopefully we get a little more of a correction. But some people are talking next target 100,000. Some people say 1 million. there's a lot of pro crypto sympathy on the Trump administration side, from what we're hearing. He's pro the crypto, and that helped the entire industry. One of the big stocks, Coinbase, which is one of the platforms that you can execute your purchases of the various cryptos, stock exploded. Big move to the upside, and that was on our list in our blockchain letter, which is one of the letters we put out, which covers the crypto market. So huge profits in that on paper. So it's, again, it's like gold. You could say you love gold and you hold it for 40 years and you finally make money on it, or Bitcoin, and eventually goes up. But we try to fine-tune this a little bit more and try to trade it if we can. That's why I consider myself a survivor, having been doing this for so many years, that try to flow with the technical tape and the news a little bit, rather than just sit there and hold stuff forever, which I don't like to do. So I'm not a buy-and-hold type person. Probably the only thing I hold is my house, and my two dogs, stuff like that. You just hold on to because you love them, and that's a permanent fixture for you. But, stocks, gold, Bitcoin, oil, all these things are just things that trade around, and you can trade around with them. So we have a lot of fun doing it.
Do you think cannabis is likely to ever be legalized federally in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. It's coming at some point. We have a little bit of a roadblock here. I'm glad you brought up the cannabis story, because there was some key legislation, a vote that's supposed to have been approved in the state of Florida here in the U.S., which would have helped a lot of the small cannabis companies, U.S.-based cannabis companies, because they do so much business in Florida. And the night before the election, Governor DeSantis got on television saying, don't vote for this approval to expand the use of cannabis in Florida and marketing of it and so forth. And sure enough, the vote turned against cannabis, and it killed all these stocks, which many of which are profitable companies. And I don't want to name the names that are in my newsletter, but sort of just kick the stuffings out of some of these. And the funny part about it is that the Canadian companies were disasters and lost a lot of money, nearly went bankrupt, Tilray and Canopy Growth as examples, which were stars back in the 2014 to 2018-19 time frame. But a lot of these U.S. small companies, particularly with U.S. states approving or legalizing it in the states, many of them have flourished and expanded, actually made money, bought back their stock, and, you know, doing a good job. But behind all this, it's a long story. We've gone over this before, is, you know, we have negative legislation out there. Cannabis is still considered federally illegal, and there was talk that it was going to be by the DEA rescheduled from Schedule 1 down to 3, which hasn't happened, keeps being delayed. Harris, Vice President Harris, was building her campaign to a certain degree on, you know, legalizing it and getting the cannabis thing cleared up. Never happened. There was some talk that the DEA was going to delay any decision about rescheduling till after the U.S. election, so I haven't heard anything in the last few days. And besides the rescheduling aspect, which would take marijuana, cannabis, you know, as safe as aspirin in terms of, you know, federal, you know, drug enforcement, DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency regulations, there's still that Banking Act, which has been floating in the U.S. Congress for several years now, which would clear the air regarding the movement of money, you know, around cannabis. Because right now, if it's considered illegal and it's not rescheduled, you know, banks and credit card companies and others don't want to do business with you. And worse than that, if you file your taxes, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, says, gee, you're an illegal company, so we're not going to let you deduct any of your expenses running your cannabis business. Imagine running a business, and the IRS says you can't deduct any of your expenses when you file your tax return because you're illegal. So this really has to be cleared up, and that's what the Banking Act is all about, and that's been just going nowhere for like several years. I mean, it's like ridiculous. You got, I don't know what it is, about 20, 25 U.S. states in the United States have approved it, legalized cannabis within their borders, but the federal government is not cooperating. Of course, in Canada, you had a completely different situation where it was legalized across the board. You didn't have this nonsense. So anyway, between the rescheduling issue, and we're still waiting for that, and this banking issue, there's still like that sword of Damocles holding on top of these companies. And, you know, a lot of people use CBD and marijuana. Many of the senior folks find a great value to their health. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence. You know, when you go out and say, well, is there a real research? Well, you know, the drug company is not going to go out there and research cannabis, because if they find out it's positive, it's going to hurt the sales of their drugs. So no money is really being put into serious medical research. And it's sort of poo-pooed. Why? Because it would lose profits for the drug companies. Now, fortunately, we've got, getting on a whole other tangent now, we've got RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr., taking the reins here a little bit. And as you know, there's talk about him coming in and revamping the Food and Drug Administration here in the U.S., which nothing short of criminal, in my opinion. I mean, the TV ads are pharmaceuticals. Should have been banned a long time ago. There's huge revenues for big pharma, and they try to block any news in the media, particularly with the ineffective and potentially dangerous COVID vaccination and all this stuff going on. In fact, as you turn on the TV and they tell you about all these great drugs you can buy, FDA approves that. Well, a few years ago they wouldn't allow that, and many of these drugs cause more problems than they help. So RFK is out there, and he's trying to work out some of the corruption there. Now, maybe part of that, cleaning some of these drug companies out of the picture here, might help with the cannabis situation, because the drug companies are the nemesis for cannabis. So a lot of things floating around here, you know, and take some time to see if this all works out. But we get the FDA under control, and we get some of these legislations passed. Long-winded response here on your cannabis question, but that's what's going on out there. So some of the cannabis stocks are dirt cheap now because of what's just happened, and they're probably something you should look at, because at some point these rules are going to change, and some of these companies are doing business in that sector, their stock is going to go up. So take a look at them.
Anything we should be watching on the geocosmic front?
Well, we just had a lunar cycle coming in. So I'm actually doing the 15th tomorrow, and the market topped out here. So that worked out. I always talk about, you know, watch the new moons and full moons if the market gets overbought or oversold. So, you know, people laugh, but we make money, so I don't really care whether they think about it or not or respect it or not. I've only done 45 years of research on it, so that's one thing. You've got, of course, the in December, we've got the winter solstice coming up, the December 21st, 22nd. As you, within a couple of weeks of that, you often get changes of direction in the market. The solar activity is still running strong. I mean, there's been some hits here in the last couple of weeks, you know, again, affecting shortwave radio. And there were some reports that it hurt more down toward Antarctica, the southern hemisphere, than the northern hemisphere. But solar activity has been increasing and is a potential great danger to the planet. And meanwhile, mostly what we see, as you know, is those beautiful auroras, and some has come pretty far south, where normally you would only see it, you know, right up closer to the North Pole or to northern portion of the northern hemisphere. So we all have to keep our fingers crossed that those sunspots that are circling the sun don't take aim at the planet Earth, because if they're in the right position, they send out these CMEs, which could be potentially very dangerous to the planet and our health. Obviously, we have no control over it. It'd be an act of God if it happens. But, it's being monitored. And those of you who like to read more about this, just go to spaceweather.com and just follow their reports on solar activity. But, you know, some satellites been taken down. We've mentioned this before. Some of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites were damaged. And ultimately, you know, it will affect us in some major way. So not much we can do to protect ourselves. You know, there are some things like the Faraday cage technology, which can block some, you know, solar impact, but you'd have to have really huge ones to protect all your equipment and everything. But I think the government and the defense sector are pretty much aware of these risks, so I think they're probably taking some action, because what I'm telling you is not secretive, and it's been out there and it's in the science. So hopefully, if there is a big solar affair or attack of some kind or surge, it has minimal impact. But there was in history one that, you know, I think it's called the Solo event. It was so dramatic it fried the planet and it killed everything. I think it's like 70% of the life on the Earth was destroyed, and it's documented and you can read about it. And I can put it into my newsletter. It's a fascinating story about a huge solar surge that just was so intense, it just killed everything. And so if something like that happens now, we're wiped out. We already know that civilizations have come and gone, and the planet has been affected by huge geocosmic events in the history past. So we just have to hope it doesn't happen in our lifetime. In any event, everything seems to be copacetic right now. So let's stay happy and keep our fingers crossed.
Mark, where do you buy your pizza in Phoenix?
Oh, gee, there's so many places to buy it. I actually like the Pizza California Pizza Kitchen, to be honest with you. That's my favorite spot for pizza. Of course, there's Domino's Pizza and Pizza Hut and all those other type places. But where I live, there's a California Pizza Kitchen literally within a 10-minute walk. And I've always been partial to their products. So why do you ask?
Well, Fired Pie, a chain based in Phoenix, has filed for Chapter 11 protection from bankruptcy. And apparently the pizza business in the U.S. is really taking a hammering, a pretty much a staple of the American diet.
You know, we talked about this before. There's been a lot of restaurant closings. Burger King, for example, which is a big, you know, hamburger chain, is closed to, for I understand, hundreds and hundreds of their locations around the country. And I think you had a list that you had shared with me regarding how many other restaurants were closing down all over the country. And I think what it comes down to is the economy for the individual is not what television and radio tells you or what the stock market is telling you. So people have cut back on their discretionary expenses. Pizza may be one of them. You think that would be the last to go because it's not really not that super expensive, but I'm just rationalizing here a little bit. Maybe that would help explain it, knowing that a lot of restaurants have been closing. Food prices are up, and, most would complain that the economy was the reason why Donald Trump got elected, because they really weren't doing as well now as they were doing a few years ago when Trump was in there and inflation was at lower levels. So the answer to your question is probably a pure economic factor.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
I love it. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.